In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Rosemary Cordova and Clara Gonzalez. Before we begin with the homily, I want you to know that we have a certificate here for somebody who made their confirmation. So if anybody in here has made their confirmation in the past week or two, they could come up and retrieve that from up here. That'd be good, especially if their name is Katrina Therese Velasquez. That'd be helpful. Good. Just so you know that that's there. Today we celebrate this feast of the Most Holy Rosary. Obviously, we've been preaching on this for the past number of weeks, right? I got lots of good insights on how to better enter into the Rosary. And I don't know if you listened to it at the beginning. Oftentimes, we don't pay attention to what happens at Mass. But that prayer that we began with right there at the beginning of Mass, after not just after the sign of the cross, but after we pray the Gloria or the Kyrie or whatever it is that we're praying at that time, we turn to that prayer, the collect, is supposed to introduce what mystery or what we're trying to draw out of in particular, asking God for during this Mass, the collect. It sort of collects our prayers, brings them together as we bring ourselves into a place where we can really beseech God and ask Him for something in particular at this moment. I was a little disappointed when I went up there to proclaim it because I thought it was going to be a different prayer than it was, because in the old Mass, it's a slightly different prayer, but it's a prayer that we're all familiar with. That prayer right there is the prayer that we pray at the very end of the Angelus. The prayer of the Angelus that was there. But the prayer originally was the prayer that you all just prayed together. Do you remember the prayer you prayed at the end of the Rosary? How does that prayer go? That prayer begins what? It says, O God, whose only begotten Son, by His life, death, and resurrection, has purchased for us the rewards of eternal life, grant we beseech Thee, that by meditating upon these mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and possess what they promise. We ask this through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. So I don't know why that change was made. But that's what should be introducing this Mass, I think, in a deeper sense. I'm going to get into why we pray that prayer and have we really thought about what that means in just a second. But let me share with you something that the great Dominican Father Garrigou de la Grange, who's one of the great, where I studied in Rome, he was the head theologian there and actually taught Pope St. John Paul II. And he gives us this little meditation. We ask, just as they asked in our gospel reading that Deacon Marvin gave for us, the same question that the disciples asked. What is that? Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. And our Lord teaches us how to pray by turning us to His mother. Pray like her. Garrigou de la Grange says this. He says, the rosary is a very practical form of prayer, for it recalls all Christian morality and spirituality by presenting them from the sublime point of the view of their realization in Jesus and Mary. The mysteries of the rosary should be reproduced in our lives. Each of them is a lesson in some virtue, particularly in the virtues of humility, trust, patience, charity, so on and so forth. It takes us from the midst of our two human interests and joys and makes us think of those which center on the coming of the Savior. It takes us from our meaningless fears, from the suffering we bear so badly, and reminds us of how much Jesus has suffered for love of us and teaches us to follow Him by bearing the cross which divine providence has sent us to purify us. It takes us finally from our earthly hopes and ambitions and makes us think of the true object of Christian hope, eternal life, and the graces necessary to arrive there. The rosary is more than a prayer of petition. It is a prayer of adoration, inspired by the thought of the incarnate God, a prayer of reparation in memory of the passion of our dear Savior, a prayer of thanksgiving that the glorious mysteries continue to reproduce themselves in an uninterrupted entry of the elect into glory. A more simple and still more elevated way of reciting the rosary is, while saying it, to keep the eyes of faith fixed upon the living Jesus, who is always making intercession for us and who is acting upon us in accordance with the mysteries of His childhood or His passion or His glory. He comes to us to make us like Himself. Therefore, let us fix our gaze upon Jesus, who is looking at us. His look is more than kind and understanding. It is the look of God, a look which purifies, a look which sanctifies, a look which gives us peace. It is the look of our judge, and still more, the look of our Savior, our friend, the spouse of our souls. A rosary said in this way, in solitude and silence, is a most fruitful conversation with Jesus. It is a conversation with Mary, too, which leads to intimacy with her Son. End quotation. Isn't that powerful? If you and I begin to pray the rosary that way, everything will change in us. Everything will change in how we enter into that beautiful and august prayer, which St. Padre Pio says, what is the weapon for our times against whatever ails us in the depths of our souls? Do we think about what it is? That prayer says, let us, what? It said, we beseech you that commemorating or meditating upon these mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and possess or obtain that which they promise. Do we think about that as we pray the rosary? When we're walking through the life, death, and resurrection of our blessed Lord at His infancy, through His suffering, through His glorious moments, crowned with Our Lady's coronation, do we focus on a particular fruit or mystery that our Lord is trying to draw out to us in that. I could give you one for each of them that we have there, but let me just give you from the, which set of mysteries did we pray today? Joyful. Good. Think about the joyful, just the five right there. Some of the ones that I focus on in the joyful mystery of the fruits from there, when our Lord is brought into Our Lady, think of what? Obviously, in that moment, her sublime humility, where she just says, be it done unto me. Lord, give me that humility that recognizes I am the handmaid of the Lord. I have a place. But also, that the Lord tells me where to go. What about the second mystery? The second mystery of the visitation. How seeing the difficulty of the great awesome charge that has been given to me, I don't dwell on that and what I need to do to accomplish that. But immediately forgetting all that, realize that somebody else needs something. So I go and attend to that need. Because the need of my brother or my sister is greater than my need. So what's that? That fruit of attentiveness to the need of another. What about another third mystery? Third mystery, to meditate there when it is the nativity of our Lord. To ask him if my own soul, with all the difficulties that still lie in there that don't convert, is that a good enough home for our Lord to take manger in? To ask him for an acceptance of his love. In the midst of the straw of my life. What about in that fourth mystery, where there our Lord is being presented in the temple, being redeemed by something so mean as two turtle doves, to ask him for that grace in this particular moment, that I myself might fulfill that which is necessary in what God is calling me to, not just because I feel that I need to do it, but because God said it needs to be done. What's the grace but obedience? And finally, in that last mystery, when our Lord is lost in the temple, I like to ponder on how throughout my life, the many times in which I've lost our Lord due to my own ventures into grave sin, and thank him for remaining where he was so I can find him again through the sacrament of his love there in the confessional. To invite him in again. These are just some of the things. Do we meditate upon the fruits of these mysteries? Though they are limitless, just as the mysteries themselves are limitless. When we invite these mysteries deeply into our lives and ask really for these virtues, it is then that the rosary becomes, as the saints have said it, as our popes have explained it, as a true source and treasury of all virtues, that we may imitate what they contain and thereby obtain what they promise. How? Through that same Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.